Fight!
Hey guys, I'm Stace and welcome to season 6, episode 2 of the MKAU show. We have Sammy.
Up.
We have Brash.
Howdy.
We have Subby.
Hey, howdy.
And we got Ash tonight.
Hello.
Hey, so let's get into what we normally do. What have you been up to lately? What have you been playing, listening, watching, or anything all round nerdy? What have you been up to, Sammy?
You say Sammy or Subby?
Sammy.
Yeah, cool.
I'm going around like what order you're on my screen.
Plenty of. Well, June was a. January was a busy month with game reviews. Had three big ones. Had Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which is.
Mm-hmm.
I completed that in 2 weeks. It was like 72 hours I put in.
Yep.
Just to finish the game, or the main story at least. And during that, I had Prince of Persia, which I. Yeah, I tried to put enough time into it, but I was also, my mind was just on Like a Dragon most of the time.
Yeah, because they're like your go-to games, right?
Yeah. And yeah. Prince of Persia, I haven't finished it, but it might be in the, you know, my backlog for a while. I want to get through some other games, but I'll get back to it soon. And also right after Like a Dragon, I did Tekken 8, and that was, yeah, like three massive games to cover.
Yeah.
But it was good. Like a Dragon was a lot of fun. Tekken 8 is still going strong today. It's got like a massive player base. Like it was actually the service crashed on the first few days because of the number of players, but it's seems to have gotten that under control.
Yeah, out of the three, what was your favorite, do you think?
Tekken 8 is the one I'm still playing because it's you play it online competitively, you try to get your rank up, so I guess that one. But yeah. Like a Dragon is story wise it's yeah, definitely got a really big impact. But taking that as well for fans of the older games and stuff.
What have you been up to, Brash?
I've got two reviews at the moment. One I can't talk about. It's a beta. It's pretty fun, though. And I've been playing Final Fantasy, the new Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Yeah, I knew you'd play that.
So,
how many hours have you played that for?
I'm into 30 plus now.
Damn.
Yeah, so it's fun.
Just a couple.
But I'm reviewing it, so you can read all about it in my review.
Yeah, but he already bought it before.
I almost bought it, and then luckily I was going to buy it that night, and then luckily I didn't.
I told him not to.
Yeah.
It was going to come in eventually.
Because it was coming out that night. I'm like, maybe I should just buy it. Maybe we're not reviewing it. But yeah, lucky I didn't.
Brash is like our residential Final Fantasy person. Him and Tox, probably.
I think TB as well, she's a big fan.
Yeah. I love Final Fantasy. Anything Final Fantasy. So those are two I've been playing at the moment because I'm reviewing them, so I haven't really had time to play anything else at the moment.
But what about you, Subby?
Like Shrouded and stuff as
well. What have I been playing? I've been playing a bit of Skull and Bones lately. I'm enjoying it.
What do you enjoy about it?
It's actually, I got a little bit triggered the other night, but I got through it. But once you start upgrading your boat and all that kind of stuff, like materials are pretty easy to get hold of. So, what level is your? What level are you in it?
Me.
Because you are ahead of me initially.
Oh yeah, I'm Kingpin 7.
Oh okay, I'm Kingpin 7.
Yep.
I'm not even. I'm just
11
about,
boat, I think.
I'm just about to go to Kingpin, but I've been playing it a little bit more lately. Good, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah,
I think the as you get once you get past that initial first part of the game, where it's a bit slow, pretty good after that. Oh. So mostly Skull and Bones, and then just the usual Siege, Fortnite. I don't really play anything else.
Did you get all the Ninja Turtle stuff on Fortnite?
Yep, all the Ninja Turtle stuff is done. There's a mini event that just happened that's going to be Greek mythology themed next island. So they have a little mini event at the moment where there's a hand that came out of the ground, dropping a chest on a chain, and everyone had to contribute had like 2 trillion damage that everyone had to contribute to break the chains. And I believe I believe all chains were broken today, so I haven't jumped on to have a look yet. But
oh, so how long has that taken?
Took a couple of days for the whole community to make contribute 2 trillion damage to break all chains. I think it had about 6 chains on it.
Yeah, because that was the Pandora's box.
Pandora's box.
Things. Yeah.
Oh, look. Brashy knows.
He's all
over
it.
Did you play Brash?
No. I haven't played Fortnite since I had that Lollipop Girl skin come out.
Lollipop Girl skin? That's all you remember?
Don't even know what that is.
That was my go-to skin, was the Lollipop Girl, and she'd do the Lollipop Girl dance. And that was me. And then I stopped playing.
That was
wild. So anyway, all the turtle stuff is done. Just counting down the days now. Season starts.
Awesome. What about you, Ash?
So I was away pretty much all of February. So my list is pretty much like Bluey the video game.
I reviewed that one.
You got to stick a sport. that'll trigger Varashi. I got to play Figment because they put that on Game Pass. So after playing Figment 2 and it making my list last year, I was able to, thanks to Game Pass, play the first one.
You beauty, Xbox. Let's go.
Yeah. So other than that, I played The King's Bird, Brotato, Scourgebringer, and Planet Alpha.
Yeah. For people listening at home, our Ash is a bit of an achievement hunter.
Yeah.
That's how we kind of found him. That's how it was sold to us. Oh, you have to have our brother because he's so into games, he achievement hunts like nearly everything. That's how Cyril sold it to us.
I got all the trophies in Tekken 8 already. Without even trying. Tekken 8, I didn't even try. It just all happens.
Really?
I was talking to someone earlier. Like, I've never been into achievement hunting. But I can see.
I tried a little bit, I just get too tired of it.
I need an incentive to make me want to do it. You know, like the prestige of being awesome is not enough for me.
I've only platinum 3 games, like Tekken 7, Tekken 8, and Sonic Frontiers. And honestly, it's without even trying to see what I had left, and I'll just do this in an hour, and it was done.
I actually got my most recent email from True Achievements, and they said that my current game to completion ratio is 86%. So
pretty good.
Yeah. I don't even know if I've got my current points available.
What's your last game that you've like 100% all the achievements? Bluey?
Scourgebringer was the last one that I did. So yeah. I know that my points are just really high. I just can't remember how high.
Last game 100%, it was like Viva Pinata, like when I was like 16. I just don't anymore. Well, that's pretty awesome, but 86% completion. That's insane. 86%,
yeah, and I do keep track of sort of where I sort of position globally, and I more often than not easily within the top 1,000. But I think last year, because I was playing so much more games, I think I was in the top 100 globally. So, and like Jesus. I was under 50 in Australia. So, I mean, I play way too many games.
Yeah, so make sure you read Ash's reviews because you know that he's probably finished it the whole way through and done all the achievements.
But, and to say that, it might be, people may say that, I don't complete a lot of games or I find it really hard to do and all the rest of it. I think you have to be probably that sort of person. Because I remember even before achievements were a thing, and I was playing on, the very first Sony PlayStation, any game I bought, I would unlock every single, if it was Tekken, I'd unlock every single costume. I would make sure that every character was completed to, 100% and had all their moves. And so, it's something that has always been part of my sort of gaming.
Yeah, it's like it's inside of you.
Yeah.
It's like there's got to be some perfectionism in there somewhere. All right, we better move on to news because we got lots of things to talk about tonight. One of the bigger ones, but probably one of the more older stories, is all the Xbox news. So So Xbox exclusives going to multi-platform, in particular four games in the pipeline to go to Sony and Nintendo. Our Lord and Savior, Phil Spencer, has actually been quoted as saying the industry shouldn't rule out that any game is never going to be on another platform, which kind of to me implies he's very much very open to multi-platform or even eventually putting legacy platforms on other consoles. So my question to you guys is a smart business move? Do you think Sony or Nintendo will reciprocate? And do you think this may be the end of the console wars? Go, someone.
100%, I reckon it's a good move on them by then.
Yeah.
Oh, see, here's my theory. Mm-hmm. I believe that they're going to pretty much don't do Xbox anymore. They're going to go purely into creating games, selling those games, and then creating the software and hardware that they will sell to the other companies to make the game, to make the consoles.
Like eventually, like big merger of technology.
Exactly. Instead of making console and trying to sell the console that they've never outsold any of the other companies with.
Well, they sell every console and always have at a loss.
Yeah, and yeah. I think they're like, well, instead of doing that, let's, because they did say that they were going to focus on hardware, but I think their hardware is not going to be a console. It's going to be the hardware
parts,
and they're going to try and pretty much take the money from other companies to like by selling hardware to them, and then also selling games to the other consoles and that. Where so they're always going to be making money and not so much losing money.
So you think like a custom console, kind of like a PC, how people customize their PCs and upgrade.
Yeah, and they'll just create, they'll focus on creating upgrades for like for the consoles, for like PlayStation consoles, and they'll try and sell PlayStation. They're like, hey, you could use this part that you guys are creating, or you can use this flash one that we just made. And they'll just try and basically sell their stuff and get money rather than trying to compete with the consoles, and so far every time lose out and lose money. Because I think they sold 21 million Xbox Series X's so far, PlayStation's at 37 million, and then you got Nintendo Switch.
Switch is number one, right?
Yeah, 120 something million. But they didn't really have a new console. It's still just a Switch.
And so runs at 720p or something?
Yeah, so, yeah. And I think for a total, like, I think PlayStation is a total of 140-something million, and that's for PS4 and PS5. And then the Switch is 127 just for the Switch. And then the Xbox is still around, like, 80 million. So they haven't even broken into the 100 million units sold yet. So yeah. I think it'll be a good choice for them.
Phil's not kidding himself though, because he knows that he's aware of those figures, and he's actually said that, you know, he knows that they're running third in the sort of the console. So, you know, from a business perspective for him, it's the correct way to go. You know, yeah, and
why do you need Xbox when you got a PC?
Well, you can even a Samsung TV will let you play Xbox now.
Yeah.
They've got the infrastructure to just, you know, sort of get rid of that sort of component to it. So,
I think that's why developers.
Yeah, so then it will become a case of what games and all the rest of it. And to make money, you sell games. So if you get other consoles to sell your games, you know, that's money going into your pocket. So it's a very smart business move.
They could be just testing the water too, because the four games they decided on, I can't remember all of them. Grounded's one of them.
Sea of Thieves.
Hi-Fi Rush.
Grounded, Hi-Fi Rush.
I'm excited about Hi-Fi Rush.
Same.
I can't remember.
I remember the other one.
So funny.
But they're not particularly out their games, so it kind of like feels like they're testing the water of how people will react.
They'll do what Sony does with their games on PC. Like, it'll be exclusive to the Xbox for a certain amount of time, and then they'll put them out on every other platform a year or two later.
Do you think games eventually from now will all be like that, exclusive for a tiny amount of time.
Yeah. This is kind of, here's a bunch of our old games that do well. We'll move them over to every other platform. See how that goes. And then I think moving forward, they'll, keep everything exclusive. You want to play it day one. Game Pass is what you need to be subscribed to because that's what they're pushing, Game Pass. And then a year or two later, they'll put it on multi-platform.
Do you guys think eventually legacy titles like Halo will go to Sony? And do you think Sony would... put Uncharted or something onto Xbox?
Sony will never ever exist
because
they don't care about their player base. They will not put any other thing off there. They won't do that.
You don't think they'll reciprocate at all?
No, they won't do that.
No, they put some stuff on the last PC. One.
They're barely putting their games on PC.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, they put some stuff on PC, but.
There's no way they'll put like Uncharted or whatever on a PC.
At the moment, they don't need to.
Xbox doesn't need to either, I guess.
I think they don't need to because they keep rehashing the same game. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, they don't have to because they did The Last of Us like 6 times now. that's an exaggeration, but people still bought it.
Yeah.
So,
they've actually announced recently too that they're not doing any big franchise games in 2024. So that means there will be no, Last of Us 3 or sequel to Ghost of Tsushima, or
They're going to release a PS5 Pro and then they're going to go and re-release everything again.
Mm.
That kind of leads
into the next topic.
That's what they're doing.
I was going to say the games that they. Well, the Xbox games that got released on other consoles, Hi-Fi Rush and stuff, I think, or at least with Hi-Fi Rush, that wasn't as successful as I hoped. Like, it's not that it's a bad game. It's actually a really good game. And I think I reviewed it about a year ago, and it was a lot of fun, but it didn't make wouldn't say sell because it was part of the...
It's one of those titles that I think they're putting over there just for people to have a taste of all these indie games that Xbox have.
Yeah.
All the titles. I know it's a Bethesda game, but it's still classes.
Yeah, I think Hi-Fi Rush is underrated. Like, it's something that should be successful, but it hasn't. And I think putting on other consoles will help push more sales and just create more awareness of it. Also with the Xbox thing, going to other consoles, it also led to if you know the Switch Online thing, it's got where you can play Super Nintendo. They brought some rare games because Xbox owns them, so they got Killer Instinct and Battletoads on. You can play them on Switch now.
Yeah.
And there's two others I can't remember.
I mean, to paraphrase from SkillUp on YouTube, he talked about it's kind of good as well because games like Grounded and Sea of Thieves they thrive on having a big community that play them. So bringing in Sony players and bringing in Nintendo players means that at least that game has a thriving community still because it needs people in those servers, playing. So there is a good side to it.
Sony, if there's one Sony game that might benefit from being on other consoles, it'll be Forspoken but I don't think they would because it's a terrible game anyway. Had poor sales and stuff. So I know there's some people who like it and... Yeah,
Rashi loves that game.
I really enjoyed it, but
I wanted to like it honestly, and I like the idea. But when I tried the demo, I lost interest. And but if other people like it, it's happy for them. Yeah. But my point is, I don't see Sony really bringing out a game like that to other consoles just to boost its sales.
The one game they are bringing is Final Fantasy 14. That's coming
Xbox.
To Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
It's a demo. There's a demo out now.
Yeah, which is pretty big.
So maybe there is some hope. Maybe there is some hope. Maybe not big, Sony titles, but...
Well, Sony doesn't own Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with...
Yeah, the unspoken bond they have with
Square Enix. I don't know. Xbox seems to be trying to bring their games to a wider audience where... I don't know. Sony just want you to, and you want to play it, gotta buy the console. Tough shit. I don't care. Yeah. Really, it's
taking baby steps. The PC stuff is a small glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
It's just who cares after... How long is it? Is it a year? I don't know. I guess it's better than nothing.
With Nintendo, I don't think they will, because they've always been exclusive. The only time they... Well, they did it on CDI, which they pretend never happened, and they've also got some games on mobile, which isn't... I don't think that really counts. It's just Pokemon Go and other stuff like that. Just very mobile-friendly games.
And Nintendo's a weird one, because they were always very, fluffy bunny, family-friendly. And the year they started putting Doom and Wolfenstein and stuff into their catalogue, I don't know.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, they shock me every now and then with some of their decisions, so.
There were some really violent games on the 64 as well.
Yeah.
Conker's Bad Fur Day?
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Golden
every
Knight
now and then they'll surprise you.
Yeah. I think there's no limit to how violent the games can be. They've got some of the recent Mortal Kombat games with the hyper-violence. Even though they don't look as good, but I think they're targeted to force family friendly, but there are some hyperviolent games that you can play on it.
Yeah.
You probably won't see the new Resident Evil 4 or Village because the Switch can't handle those graphics, but it's not entirely family friendly, but that's the target audience and it's proven to be successful.
Well, speaking of the Nintendo Switch and the PlayStation Pro, which is planned to be coming quite soon, the new Switch is rumored to be coming out 2025. Games apparently are already in development for it. So what would you expect to see if a new Switch does come?
It's better hardware.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know there's a better screen coming because
I heard the opposite though.
That there was not a better screen coming.
But yeah, then they're doing away with the OLED, going back to the LCD, normal LCD.
So they can do the OLED later and sell
more.
Probably. Yeah.
The rumors are hot.
There was a whole uproar about how they were looking at not doing the OLED in it.
Nintendo is the only one who makes profit off of their consoles still, because they use a rice packet for their hardware and then sell
it. Did you say they use a rice packet? Oh, jeez.
It feels bad. And they're like, oh, come play this awesome game that's on PlayStation, Xbox, on the Switch. And you try and play it, and it's just the whole thing is just glitched. Even the games specifically for the Switch don't work. Like the Pokemon, that was fucking horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Tears of the Kingdom ran perfectly for me. That's a more graphics intensive compared to Pokemon.
But then again, if they do bring out more hardware, then they're gonna have to start thinking looking at possibly getting losses on consoles.
The hardware is meant to be on par of last gen consoles.
The new one.
They've always kind of done that though.
The new Switch. On par with this Xbox One PS4 power. And the screen, I had read that it was not an OLED because they argued why, because it's such a small screen anyway, why you kind of need it.
I play on the TV anyway.
So you're going to buy the new Switch, and it's going to be basically just a PS4 or just
essentially. Yeah, Xbox, so they're one, always a whole generation behind.
But they're going to sell it for $800-900, so they're still going to make a profit.
They will.
Yeah, it's a very expensive handheld, that's for sure.
Yeah.
See, Nintendo cash in on the fact that you can take it anywhere. Yeah. You know, no one's going to pull their Xbox apart. Well, other than Subby, who would pull it apart and take it away on holiday. Most normal people would just pick up their Switch and go.
So how do you think it's going to affect the Switch sales now that we're now seeing more PC handhelds coming out?
That's a good point.
I think that the price point is going to affect that.
Because
people aren't going to spend $1,200+ if they want to hang out.
Yeah, I think the Nintendo exclusives is what really drives the sales, because you can't get those on the PC handhelds like ever.
Oh, yeah, Nintendo are very our stuff is our stuff.
Mm. Yeah, they've always been like that, during their time against Sega and then, beyond that with PlayStation and original Xbox. And yeah, I think like it's exclusive games that's going to drive the sales. If and hopefully they actually, you know, make more, like do more with Star Fox and F-Zero, which fans have been like, yeah, they've been dying for these new games, but they just never do it. And every Nintendo Direct we get, we're always like waiting for it, but it doesn't happen. Yeah, but you know, we'll have to wait and see. And if the I guess a big game that would sell the next Switch would be if they're making the new Smash Brothers. But that's also if they can bring all those characters back, like all the guest characters and stuff, because that's yeah, that's like one of the reasons like people bought the original Switch with Smash Ultimate.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. I just want to see a Switch with like better, like power. You know, like not framing and looks good when it's up on the TV, because it always looks good. Well, for me, generally, the games I play generally look good in handheld. But the moment you chuck it in a dock and put it up on like a 4K TV, it just looks horrible. You know. So
I think the problem I have with the Switch going from handheld to the dock is that typically they don't actually optimize it properly. I've played many games and reviewed it where as soon as I put it in the dock and it goes up on the TV, the UI just goes to crap. And that, so
that's because they upscale the UI but don't upscale the video, the game. That looks good.
UI has been a big problem a few times. Yeah,
certain games like Pokemon Skull and Violet, it didn't do. Well, yeah, I was riddled with glitches, but before that was Pokemon Arceus, however you pronounce it.
Yeah.
And that ran really, really well. Like, there was built, like, first no problems with it. Like, there's some stuff that could be better, but other than that, it ran incredibly well. But that was also done by a different company, because Game Freak did Scarlet and Violet. Arceus was done with a different developer, I forget which one, but they're a lot more experienced with, like, making, you know, 3D open world games, and Game Freak was more. I think there's some of the developers, some of the developers are still stuck in the, like the Game Boy era and 3DS and stuff.
Yeah. So see, some of the developers for Switch know, like the hardware they're working with, and some you can tell they just have no idea, because games like Zelda look amazing, and then you'll get games like Mortal Kombat 1, where Molina's face looks like she's been to an LA surgeon.
Like they did pretty good with MK11, but this one, I don't know what happened to this one.
Yeah, MK11 looks good on the Switch, and then MK1 just doesn't.
Yeah, this one's
just looks cursed. Yeah,
they've kind of like fixed it, but it's still not great.
Yeah, it's not a reason you to buy a Switch just for that game.
No, but there are some beautiful games on Switch, I'm not gonna lie.
I think Princess Peach will be a big one that's coming next month actually.
This month.
Princess Peach Showtime.
Yeah.
That's a few weeks away.
I have seen a trailer. I saw a trailer for that today for the first time. Anyway, let's move on. I think, Subby, you might be the only one that can talk about this one. Helldivers 2.
Well, I don't even know.
Sorry, Brashy did the review for it. I'm sorry, Brashy. Go to the website.
And to be honest, I don't know if it's kind of a... Like, everything's sorted now, though, isn't it, Brashy? Like, servers have been... The increased capacity has been raised.
I was going to say, where has it gone from the crashing and the limited server space
to
now?
So everyone... It stopped working for a day, and everyone started sucking and crying and bitching and whinging, and then they upped the capacity, and it's all good now, and everyone's like, oh, yay, it's good again. And it's like, well, all you got to do is chill.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't expect it to fucking explode like it did, and it did. Everyone loved it, everyone wanted to play it, so everyone was playing it at the same time. Like, I never had a issue with...
I never had an issue either.
But I think that's because we're not American.
Did you have big queue times? No?
Had no queue times.
No, it was purely the time when, like, the Americans were on.
Yeah.
And it just got flooded.
Because I heard people were... staying on like for 24 hours straight, like
so we had those people had were doing that too. That was the Americans too. They were jumping on, staying and stated, on, and so leaving their consoles.
They've sorted that out though. Now there's an AFK.
Yeah, thing.
There's a thing they've implemented where if you're not doing anything, they'll boot you off.
Yeah, I heard the time is only 1 minute though, which is pretty crazy. They've gone from one extreme to another.
I don't know if it's a minute, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Something I read online said they made it 1 minute and people were trying to get them to fix that now too.
Maybe that was initially what it was, but I don't think it's a minute now.
I think it's that now.
Imagine trying to run to the toilet and back in 1 minute.
Take a piss, it'd be a marathon.
It was only in the ship area though. It wasn't while you were in the game.
Yeah.
Last I heard, it was 10 minutes.
Okay.
That was what I heard last was 10.
Okay. So there must.
And again, I heard people complaining about that for that exact reason. Oh, I can't get to the toilet and back again in 10 minutes. So,
what was that person doing?
I don't know. And because, I mean, I don't get up. I don't wear pants and I just throw urine cakes on the floor and I'm done. You know, so.
He's got one of those seats like from South Park.
Just have a bucket sitting next to you. He's
just screaming for his wife to come in. that's good.
Never have to get up. No pants, urinal cakes. You're all set.
So, yeah, I think pretty much all the it's all sorted now. It's good. It's a very good game. Very fun.
You still enjoying it? You still playing it? You two?
I'm trying to because I got Final Fantasy in that at the moment.
Oh.
I haven't. Like, I got a mate playing right now. I'm half tempted to go play with him, but I'm like, no, I've got to keep playing Final Fantasy.
He's in a spiral. He's in that downward Final Fantasy spiral.
I want to get through it. It's so long. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, with the service crash, it happened with Tekken 8 on day one. Like, when I had it for the review period, it worked fine, and it was, like, 2 days they gave us to actually test the online play. And it was just against other reviewers, and some people got the game early. And everything worked fine then. On day one, when it got released, and I could actually play online finally, it was just crashing everywhere. Like, you get through half a match, and then it crashes. It takes you out of the game completely. And then there was a thing where if you rematches someone, it crashes. So people just chose not to rematch. It happened the first few days, and I think, before the first update, it got fixed somehow. I'm not sure how they did it. My assumption is maybe some players, they realize they're not that good at the game. They're getting destroyed online and got discouraged and play something else.
Yeah.
Tekken 8 had a similar issue with just the servers being overloaded, and because I weren't expecting the player numbers to be that big.
I mean, what online game doesn't have this issue now anyway? Just expect
it.
Yeah, because I've noticed a lot of big streamers are doing the tournament and that as well for Tekken at the moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're all participating and trying to get as high as they can in the tournament.
Yeah, it's still pretty active, right?
Yeah, because I was just watching Masayoshi do it. He was playing Tekken 8.
Yeah, it was actually 2 weeks ago I entered the Tekken 8 tournament at a university. And the whole other fighting games there too. I entered Tekken and I didn't do as well as I hoped, but had a lot of fun. I'm also distracted by the cat.
It's a different cat this time.
It is.
Just photo bombed.
Yeah.
Well, actually that user like player amounts kind of leads into our next part. You didn't necessarily have to have played this game to input, but so, the life and death of the Suicide Squad. So currently, as of today, I literally looked up stats for today, so they were accurate. And this is kind of like what Angry Joe did. It's Suicide Squad sitting at 376 players.
Just on Steam?
Today. Yeah, but I've got some, because everyone's like, no, you can't just talk about one player. Like, compare it to Helldivers, right, who actively today had 236,652 players.
Has been pretty consistent, yeah.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate, which is what? Probably like a year, almost a year old now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and is just a story game? What, 6 months? I'd say 6 months?
About 6 months.
Yeah, about 6 months. That has 75,951 players. And this is coming from, like, remember when a dev said that people don't want to play story games anymore?
Mm.
That they want to play multiplayer shooters? And last one, the closest game I could think of that's kind of similar to Suicide Squad is The Division 2, and that has had 2,089 players today. So what do you guys think happened to the Suicide Squad? Do you think it will have a future, and do you think a DLC will change anything?
I think it lived up to its name, surely.
Killed the Justice League.
suicide part. Took you a while. It's a game I was interested at first because it's made by the same people who did the Batman Arkham games. But the more I saw, more gameplay I saw, like it's just every character just has a gun, not being who they're meant to be. I just lost interest from that and I didn't care for it anymore. The only thing I would watch is probably the cutscenes on the rain, because especially because Kevin Conroy's in it. That's one of his last performances.
Bless his soul.
And I think he's got two other projects coming up. He's done voices for like two other. I think it's an animated series and it's another animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like the game, the more I learned about it, the less. Yeah, I just kept losing interest for it, and it's not doesn't look like a game I'll ever play.
Short take, fun but forgettable.
Yeah.
Did you play it, Crashy?
Yeah, I did.
Did you enjoy the story?
Yeah.
I thought the story was pretty fun. It was pretty funny.
Yeah,
it had some really funny moments in it.
Is it worth watching the cutscenes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth watching through just cutscenes. Yeah, they're pretty funny.
It is pretty funny. Cool, I'll do that. But it's pretty much all take the piss out of the Australian guy.
You find him on YouTube. Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, it's just take the piss out of him, and then that's it. But,
he doesn't throw his boomerangs, I heard.
I personally didn't mind it.
But, yeah, but, like, everyone has, like, two guns, and then you can do, like, Captain Boomerang, his melee attack is throwing his boomerangs. Harley Quinn's is her bat, hammer, whatever you got. Shark is just he punches the shit out of people. And then Deadshot's his wrist gun. And that's the only thing that's the, like those characters are known for. It's just their melee attacks. And then have a shotgun or have a sniper rifle or have a pistol or have a submachine gun. They're like basically all the same, just with little kinks that they have from the actual comics.
It's like those melee moves you mentioned. They're more powerful in other media, like other games or movies and stuff. But then this game is like it's like their secondary weapon, and it feels like it cheapens it out.
Do you think it's a case of media perspective, and a lot of people were turned off just by its overwhelmingly negative reviews from the press?
People playing it. People did play it. They're just not continuing to play it.
No. Yeah. It's not retaining people.
My issue, the reason why I haven't gone back to it is I think they haven't really done anything with the end game, in my opinion. It's what's there at the end, they just throw a couple of things at you that you can just keep redoing. And I just can't be bothered. Like, I don't know. And I don't even know if anything's been released still for the content-wise. For a live service game, seems to be very little stuff after the story.
Well, they got a DLC coming with the Joker.
But it needs to be coming out on a nice steady flow.
A lot of people are not even interested in that. Already released, because
all four characters already, haven't they, Sammy? Do it. I don't know. There's nothing to do.
I think Joker is just going to feel like another skin, like another character with the guns. So not much different.
A lot of people are unhappy because his main weapon is an umbrella, which you would kind of associate with the penguin instead.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, so there has been some backlash even from that.
If you're going to give him a main weapon, give him a crowbar. Too fair.
Or if anything, he should have had the guns and the others should have had not guns.
No, just have the gun with the extended barrel.
Yeah.
That pistol. You know.
Or just his melee can be a gun that he shoots and then the fist comes out.
Or the bang sign.
Yeah, or the bang sign.
Yeah. Well, I didn't play it. I watched Subby play it a lot. I don't know. It just seemed a lot of bouncing around on the same roof. Which made me sad because the environment actually looked pretty cool because it's all neon-y and kind of futuristic looking. And then they spent most of it up in the air or on the roof. I don't know. To me, it just sounded, it felt a bit empty, you know?
Also, like comparing it to the Spider-Man game, you play Spider-Man, you feel like you are Spider-Man. What you expect him to do, you can do in the game. You play Suicide Squad, you don't feel like each of the characters as much. Maybe like a small portion of it.
Yeah.
So it feels like you're playing another shooter with like just different skins of different characters.
I literally only played Boomerang. I only played the other ones when I was forced to. like, because I just didn't like, I really did, like, the only one I probably sort of half liked was Harley Quinn, but the only one I had the most fun with was with Boomerang, because like, I didn't even use guns with him, I just meleeed everything because it was just the Boomerang, and that's all I did.
Do we feel like the game would have been more successful if it wasn't a live service?
I think absolutely. If they focused... The other problem I have too is... They want every game to be co-op, and there's no reason for everything to be co-op. And I think that's what ruined that, is because they tried to make it a co-op game, so...
This like is Gotham Knights?
And Gotham Knights was exactly the same. Gotham Knights wasn't too bad co-op because you weren't stuck. You weren't tethered to each other. You can go off and do whatever you want anywhere. And this one here tethers everyone together. If you get too far away from each other, the screen just goes off fucking shit and you can't do anything. Get back to your teammate. Like, it would have been better if it was just a single player game and maybe switch between all the characters. Kind of how, like, you know, in GTA, they just switch between all three characters. Maybe... Something like that would have been better.
Quick switching.
Yeah.
So like you're playing as one, then you can quick switch to one of the other guys on the rooftop nearby.
They're trying to accommodate for too many things. Co-op, live service games. Like just pump out another Arkham style game. Switch between the characters. I reckon it would have done a million times better. Because the story was pretty decent. It was pretty funny.
Do you know what? GTA doesn't get enough credit for how innovative that kind of style of gameplay was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think next year that's all anyone's going to be talking about. Anything else is relevant.
Yeah.
GTA 6.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Well, let's move on. Borderlands trailer. What are our reactions? Eli Roth is the director, better known for like quite savage movies like Hostel and Inglourious Basterds. All right. So he's the director. What are our initial reactions to the Borderlands trailer?
Looks
Ash? Good. I wasn't sold to begin with. Like, when I first heard about it, I went, you know, I don't think this is going to work. And then for this podcast, I went and watched the trailer, and it's not going to work.
Now I'm adamant. It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. Yeah, Borderlands is a game. I think if you wanted to tell it as a story, I think you'd have to get something maybe toward the Telltale sort of thing and write it like that. But even then, like, that was written very specifically to be a game, and Telltale do a good job of telling, you know, stories, you know, through computer games.
Twisting storylines.
Yeah, but with this... Yeah, I can't see it working. I was not sold on the sound of it. And after watching the trailer, I'm most definitely not sold. I do not believe this is going to work at all.
Okay, Ash is very no. Brashy, you said it was good. What do you think?
No, it's going to be absolutely fucking horrible. But
it looked good, but it's going to be horrible. See,
but it doesn't look like good.
Only a trailer.
It all looks good, but their characters... I'm not going to work for it. You got fucking Kevin Hart's meant to be playing a soldier. He's Roland. Like 5 foot nothing. And he's meant to be playing Roland. And then you've got...
Kate Blanchett as Lilith.
Yeah, Kate Blanchett. Doesn't... But even worse, what's her name? Was playing the Blackhead Sheila, and she's an old woman.
Jamie Curtis? Is it Jamie Curtis? Curtis.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis, and she's just too old for that. Like, all the characters are too old for what they are in the games.
Look, there's a reason why it took so long for them to release a trailer, right? When did they announce this? 2000 and...
They did it at a...
I don't even know now. It was
they
a long
released
time.
A trailer at an E3, wasn't it? The announcement?
Yeah, probably 2015 or something, who knows?
When they went backstage?
And like, even Tiny Tina, like, she doesn't have the voice of Tiny Tina.
And Jack Black is...
Yeah, Jack Black
is Claptrap.
Jack Black is Claptrap. Perfect. Great.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably only saving grace. And then the rest of the characters are just... You look at it and you're like, who are these characters? They're not...
It's just a weird cast. And why is Bandit part of the gang? The Bandit thing? Like,
I didn't get that either.
Yeah, I haven't... I haven't played. I played the first Borderlands game, but a little bit, but it wasn't. This wasn't for me. But I can appreciate like the art style and yeah, everything that's popular about it. But yeah, looking at it, it's just it doesn't even just the trailer itself didn't look impressive. It's got a Mad Max style world, but you look at a trailer for Mad Max Fury Road, or even the new one's going to come out for Furiosa. Like those trailers get you excited for the movie. This one, it's just showcasing a bunch of big name celebrities being. Yeah, themselves, especially Kevin Hart, and Kevin also, Hart. Yeah,
that's a good point. And, Kevin Hart plays like the same role in everything he does.
Yeah, and also, a lot of like you know, game to movie adaptations like do really, really, really bad. There's only like a few that have done really well, and it's yeah, Borderlands is likely going to just join the pile of bad game to movie adaptations.
Yeah,
do you know what I reckon? It's going to be Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet.
I think worse than Monster Hunter.
They're going to Monster Hunter it. Like, where...
Yes. Like, put a Hershey's chocolate in there.
Like, there's Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter is great, and then they're like, oh, you know what we'll do? We'll put modern soldiers and make them teleport into the Monster Hunter world. It's like, why? Fuck off. Just Monster Hunter world. You don't need modern shit into it. Yeah, hunting fucking big-ass
Ron
dragons.
Perlman.
Fuck yeah.
Had Ron Perlman being Ron Perlman. Had...
Exactly.
That Tony Jaa... Like, I love Tony Jaa, but that was just not... his kind of movie. It just didn't showcase what he's good at.
Well, and yeah, also, because they had all modern guns and shit in it. It was just Tony Jaa running through the jungle fighting monsters. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It makes me sad. Go, Sammy.
I was going to say Borderlands. I don't have any hope for it, for the movie to do well. It might sell well, but it doesn't mean it's going to be received well.
Yeah.
I mean, the trailer didn't even have anything exciting in it. If that's all they could put together for a trailer.
Yeah, the comedy wasn't that funny either. It's just slapstick for the sake of it. It doesn't just feels very out of place.
You can't look up downvotes on trailers anymore, can you?
Mm. Look at what?
They got rid of the dislike button.
PC world, bro. Don't tell people you don't like something.
But yeah, as someone who's is not really a fan of the games, it doesn't the trailer for the movie doesn't interest me. So it's. Yeah, just even as a someone doesn't know the game that well, like I've got no interest to watch the movie unless I review it. But
I mean, I was interested to see it. I'm kind of with Ash. Enough. Everyone's just been cast wrong. Like,
yeah.
I'm not against ageism and all that kind of stuff, but they had so many opportunities to put like young, up and coming like actors or actresses in. Like, they didn't even have to be well known. Like.
Yeah.
They could have gave like starting actors and actresses a chance, but no, they've gone for let's put in people that don't really match the character just because they're like A-list celebrities and Hollywood.
Yeah, they're going for star power now, and that just doesn't.
It reminds me. Yeah, it reminds me of the recent Avatar: The Last Airbender series on Netflix. the casting for that was like perfect, and they got like Asian stars to be. Yeah, like the Fire Nation and all that stuff, and the guy like Native Americans be the water tribes. And there's a lot of actors I never heard of, but they fit in really, really well. It's not like a perfect replication of the cartoon, but it's just like a different retelling of the same story.
One Piece was the same.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one, but I heard that's a big. It did surprisingly well. I think the Avatar.
They're all known like people I've never seen before. You know.
Yeah, like you don't need like big names to sell the movies, but it's they're just going to be themselves essentially, especially with Borderlands. But the Last Airbender series is so far it's done. Well, at least in my opinion, I've actually really enjoyed it. Like because I watched the cartoon and it's just comparing the two, it's like you can tell like they are fans of the cartoon, even if there are some some small changes here and there.
Yeah, it feels like they're starting to take TV series more serious.
Yeah. I mean, Netflix also has some bad ones like Death Note and some other ones. I care about Bebop especially. But I think maybe they've learned a lesson now and actually trying to get things right.
So, we're all going to see it, obviously.
Yeah. I'm probably still going to watch it.
For research purposes.
If I'm reviewing it, I guess I'll have to.
Yes, Sammy, you'll be going to see it.
But
when's it out?
I can't remember. It shows how much I care. But yeah, I mean, if I am reviewing it, well, yeah, I'll do it. But I don't think it's the Universal, so that's only the Universal movies.
I don't know who it is actually.
I think I saw Lionsgate in the trailer, so I think it's through them.
Either way, you're going to get a Simpsons Nelson. Ha ha!
Ha ha! You're going.
Yeah, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's released on the 9th of August in the USA.
Actually, speaking of game to movies, I did Five Nights at Freddy's, and I'm not a fan of the games, but that was an insult to the fan base.
Oh, it was so boring. I wanted my money back. But I think I've already spoken about this in a previous podcast.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Like, even the creator of the game actually worked on the movie, and he made a lot of changes, and it's like he doesn't understand why his own game is popular. So, and that's something I learned after the review.
Yeah. All right, let's move on from one bee in our bonnet to another. So Twitch has announced recently they're increasing the price of subs on March 28th in the UK, Australia, and Canada mainly. But Brash, you found something else out. So what impact do you think that will have on viewership?
I don't think it'll have an impact on viewership. It'll have an impact on people considering their sub or not anymore because of, you know, stuff's already... cost of living is already high enough. Now they want to throw on another dollar again each month. It adds up.
Is there a reason behind the increases?
They wanted to help out the content creators with the current cost of living, which is...
Yeah, but they're not the ones that pay for the
subs. They are the streamers! Like, taking from the viewers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so it'll...
That all the money goes to Twitch anyway.
Yeah.
The content creators won't see anything.
Yeah, they'll see an extra 50 cents.
Right. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think viewership's going to change. Yeah, people might be considering their subs or cutting back on them quite a bit. So the content creator is going to suffer in that sense. Fortunately.
Yep.
Yeah.
What did you find out, Brashy?
Turkey. Fucking poor Turkey. Even though it's probably cheap living there. Tier 1 subs, current prices, $9.90. Like in Turkey, whatever.
What's that in Australian dollars?
Wouldn't have a clue, but their tier one's going from $9.90 to $43.90.
What?
Yep. And no. Their tier two is going from $19.99 to $87.90. And then their tier three going from $49.99 to $215.90.
Maybe they're trying to deter kind of like the Korean, how they're not allowed to sub anymore. You know?
Well, that's why they pulled out of Korea, was because of the costs of monetizing over there. Maybe they're trying to avoid that in Turkey by upping the price instead to cover whatever it costs, but no one's going to do that. They'll just...
To answer your question, Subby, the Australian dollar to one Turkish lira is 0.049 of a cent.
Okay, so what did you say one sub was?
Pretty much 5 cents.
What did you say one sub was?
So it would now $43.90.
For T1.
$43.90. Probably going to be $9.90 in Australia.
$2.14.
$2.14.
So that's actually pretty good.
That's not bad.
So there you go. Don't worry about it.
That's all good.
There's actually nothing wrong with that pricing.
So what we're trying to say is, what we're trying to say is everyone just start subbing to Turkey streams.
Oh, poor things.
But imagine that. So, well, I suppose for them it's like in Turkey. But like in Turkey though, you're paying $43.90 in their money. So for people in Turkey, it sucks.
Of course it does. Yeah, you're going $9.90 lira to $43.90 lira. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So for them it sucks. For us, it's whatever.
Well, to us, it doesn't. To us, it's like, but that's the thing. Like, one lira is 5 cents to us. So, comparatively, but I mean, if you put that into perspective for us, that would be, you know, exactly the same as us. Like if we were paying $9.90 Australian and then they turned around and went, oh, you're paying $43.90, yeah, we'd be in an uproar about it as well.
Yeah, that's what I was also saying, like with the American dollars now, because we're, I think it's like, well, we 63 cents to the dollar or something for American or something like that. So, like, even if for us paying for American subs and stuff like that, we're paying an extra pretty much like 60% on top of, or 40%, sorry, an extra like 40% on top of what we pay for anything American.
See, a dollar increase isn't bad for us, but if you're like sub to multiple people, like I know many of us are, it starts adding up.
You know. So currently, one American dollar is $1.53 Australian.
53.
So, but that's an American dollar. So if you were to pay an American,
yeah, but see, most things
dollar, if you were to pay for every dollar you pay to an American, you're pretty much having to take an extra 50 cents out of your pocket.
Yeah, because so, I know I play some mobile games that use
USD.
Yeah. So like they're like, oh yeah, it's $9.99 and then USD, and so I'm like, fuck, that's gonna cost me $16.
Yeah, I donated to a friend's stream the other day and didn't realize it came out in USD. I'm like,
And then like, oh, thanks for the $50, and you're like, that was 70.
My bad.
Yeah. So it's always hard with exchange rates, and especially when it comes to games, and like especially like a lot of games when you have to like when like their main thing is paying for like extra content and stuff like that, it gets kind of hard. But luckily, most of like the like PlayStation stores and like that, they translate it for you. So
it does. It gets crazy. I know, like Ash, you can probably relate when you watch Angry Joe and he like rants on about a game being $70 and then I like sit there and work it out in Australian. I'm like, bro, like that exact game he's talking about isn't $70 here, it's like $120.
Yep.
Yeah.
So but I mean that's just if you cost of living watching American content, we have to pay more, you know, because it has to, I don't know, be shipped here.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's got to be shipped here digitally. Yep.
Yeah. It costs more to get those digits across.
It's all that bandwidth.
But yes, comparatively, yes. When you do work it out, that you know their minimum wage is like $2.
Yeah.
You know,
we don't work for tips.
Yeah, you know, our minimum wage is like $25. So yeah, so
it does equal out.
It does equal out somewhat. So
yeah.
I still don't agree with like exactly what Subby is saying that, you know, oh, you know, to buy a digital item, we need to pay more for it. You know, to me, that doesn't make sense. But yeah.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say that? I thought you did say that. I thought you were saying that it was costing, that they were charging us more for a digital product, which they do.
I was being sarcastic.
Yeah, he's been sarcastic.
I don't understand why stuff's digital is dear. I don't understand why.
Because it's the market. They believe that because, you know, we're willing to pay $120 for a physical item that we still have to pay $120 for a digital item.
Well, so, this is a little bit off topic, but some even developers and publishers have said you don't actually own it once you buy it either. You're just renting it off us.
Well, that's been one of the big now.
Yeah. That's the big controversy at the moment because some of them have flat out said, look, if we wanted to delist the game, we have every right to do that even if you've paid money for it.
And it's like, and there's really not heaps that like an average person can do about it because they can just be like, click their fingers, delete the game, and then it's gone from your library. And it's just like.
And that's the scary thing about owning digital nowadays. Yeah.
So I still buy physical media. So like as an example, when I didn't buy Hades until it actually came out as physical media and then I went and bought it. So I still actually hold out for stuff like that.
Yeah. I prefer to buy physical. They just look cool too.
Yeah. With digital, there's some countries that thrive on it because, you know, getting games imported to the country is almost impossible. Like countries like Pakistan and you mm-hmm. know, that region and parts of Africa. So even just getting the console is a challenge. And once I have the console, getting it digitally is just the easy way to do it. Because I don't have to worry about, you know, importing or, you know, or any of that stuff and paying like ridiculous amounts of money. They just pay like the standard price for the game itself and, you know, like digitally. So because there's a lot of like countries that do that, like that's why, you know, going to digital might just be the easy way, you know, for industries.
Yeah, a lot of Asian countries.
And why they can continue to keep charging so much.
Yeah.
Supply and demand. People want it now. Yeah. They don't want to wait.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd wrap up today with just a nice, like, I like to wrap up with personal topics. So my question to you guys is, what is one of the most irritating boss fights or bosses that you've versed in video games? Just so the audience gets to know us a little bit and such. So I'll just go first. So for me, some of the most irritating bosses I find in games is when I play Doom Eternal, the Marauder, you burst him like three times.
Yeah, this was
and
my,
he's not
this
a boss boss.
This was my one.
Yeah, he's not a boss boss. He's like a mini boss you get halfway through a level. And he's just so annoying. Like, because he's got like this little ghost wolf that also runs around and it like attacks you and bites you. And he's got a really like small window that you can actually go in and strike him. But he's super annoying. And one of the others, which I didn't even think about until like the last minute just before we started our podcast, is when I used to play Fallout, I like hated Deathclaws. Like those things were annoying and they would always like pop up when you least expect it. And there's normally like one or two of them. And I was never like prepared or like they would just come up from behind and they used to, I've never really ever would win against a Deathclaw unless I was like full knew where they were camping and then would go there. So for me, those are like two super irritating, like boss-y characters. I wouldn't count one as boss fight type one, so
it is,
but
they're
still bossy to me. Yeah,
I had the Marauder though. I don't play a lot of games where there's bad hard bosses. I don't play Elden Rings. I don't play Dark Souls. I don't play anything that's hard because I don't find those things fun. But yeah, Marauder was on my list because he was quite annoying. I did play a lot of Eternal. The only other one I had was when I'm going to say it because it was one of the very first sort of bosses was Goro or Shao Kahn on the original, like MK2.
I was going to say, if you don't know Mortal Kombat 1,
they were
Jesus.
Annoying as heck. Until
Kintaro.
Kintaro and Shao Kahn.
Shao Kahn, yeah. That was I could get past Kintaro, actually.
You couldn't do it until you worked out how to cheese them with certain characters, so that was easy, but they were the first two bosses ever to irritate the shit out of me.
How old were you then?
I don't know. A little wee boy.
I was around 7 at the time, because I had it on the Super Nintendo.
Jesus.
You know, in that Mortal Kombat game, that there was actually like a program in it that actually read the character movement, which is what made it so hard.
Yeah, so that was only if you played on player one side, it was the worst. So if you played player one side, it was always harder against the CPU. But if you played on the player two side, the computer was always a lot easier to play against.
Yeah,
most people would always go to player one and would get their ass kicked. That's how it was programmed.
Yeah, and that's pretty much my biggest thing with... I have more of a gripe with the mechanics they use on bosses rather than bosses themselves. So, for instance, they might teach you in a game how to use all the stuff and then reward you and power you up and all the rest of it, and then you get to the final boss and they take that all away, and you're literally fighting as if you're level one. So I've got more of a gripe with game mechanic bosses that do things like that.
Yeah.
Would probably point at more games going, you're shit because of that, because you've made your boss harder. Essentially, you know, not correctly. Like, they didn't make the boss a challenge. They just took all your stuff away that you had to make the boss challenging.
Yeah.
So in that regards, but if I was to just say a singular boss that just drove me to just like literally
loopy.
Yeah, would be the Fume Knight from Dark Souls 2.
Yes. So
that was the most infuriating boss that I have ever fought.
On the side of like Dark Souls.
Yeah. Oh, but again, like if you then sort of look into it, that whole DLC, which is where that Fume Knight is, the whole DLC was built around doing it, you know, as a pair. So when you're trying to do it solo, which is what I was trying to do, it's just horrendous. It's horrible. I hated every second of it. It was just
awful. Do you think you died?
So I honestly couldn't tell you. It'd be well and truly into the hundreds, maybe even 200s. So, but I had to beat it because I had to 100% the game. So
I bet you were so satisfied though when you did.
Oh yeah, the euphoric sort of you get from those sort of games. When you finally sort of succumb, like, you know, you beat a challenge like that, it's really good. But I mean, yeah, I finally beat it, got the achievement stuff that I needed from that DLC, and I never ever went to that place ever again. So, but from the side where you guys are coming from, where you've like particular mobs, not so much bosses that were just horrible to deal with, Elden Ring Rune Bears would be probably the worst sort of designed enemy that I've had to come across. Because, yeah, they're like a mini boss, you know, and they're just horrible to deal with.
I hate the little finger things.
Yeah.
I can't even think about them without getting like a ugh. I heard there's a giant one. I've never even seen that, but damn.
Oh, there's quite a few big ones in there, yes.
Yeah. So I can imagine. What about you, Sammy?
There was the one Sabi mentioned that's also given me a lot of trouble, and I still haven't been to this day, but like I haven't got access to the game as well. It's still on my bucket list to do one day. Another one that's a fighting game has a lot of like difficult bosses, and one that sticks out particularly is Capcom vs SNK2, which has characters from Street Fighter, King of Fighters, and stuff. A crossover game, and God Rugal, who's from the King of Fighters series, and he's like impossible to beat. I've managed to beat him a few times, but I have this, you know, a lot of failures. And just I used to think like I was just, you know, wasn't good enough at the game, but many years later I find out a lot of people have had trouble against this boss, and they become notorious for that, even in his own games. The few times I managed to beat him, it was just so satisfying. But he's just designed to be impossible and just make your life hell. And another one, it's another fighting game called Kaizen Knuckle. It's not one many people know of. It became notorious over the past few years because a streamer, Justin Wong, he tried that challenge to beat the general at the end. He's like a secret boss. And he had a lot of trouble doing it. He's like a world champion Street Fighter player. I managed to get to it once because there's certain conditions you have to do. And I tried it like a few times and I've got no idea what to do. Like, I don't know how to get around it. I don't know how to... Like, anything I do, he just has a counter for everything. I just take one step in any direction, and he just kills me. And there's another one. I haven't actually tried it, but it's actually a mod for Ultimate versus Capcom 3, where you fight Galactus at the end. Like, he's the size of a tower.
And, see, now he takes up, like, half the screen, too.
Yeah. And, like, this it's a modded version of this game, and it's something I want to try, but his design where he's... He just constantly beats you senseless. Like, there's no break between his moves. And, I've seen Justin Wong do that. It took him, like, 6 hours to do. Like, the stream went for, like, 6 hours, and he finally got a win.
Jesus.
And he used the team that he won, like, major tournaments and stuff. And, he's just... Because, like, when you play the normal game, like, the unmodded version, like, his design... Like, he can kill you anytime, but like, his design's where he can... you have a fighting chance against him.
Yeah.
But this modern version is just constantly attacking you like nonstop, and like he can kill you like in a few moves. I don't think I could beat it, but it's something I really want to try just for the fun of it.
You should film it. Chuck it up on a YouTube channel.
Well, streaming. I want to do streaming soon, so if I can get access to it, I'll definitely give it a go.
You should. Yeah. What about you, Brash?
This wasn't a boss, but it had me absolutely. Raging.
Wait, is this Final Fantasy?
No. Helldivers 2.
every single turn.
Those jumping fucking bugs. I swear to God, I land, those little things just beeline for me. And because with my character, I always play, I like playing roles. So
yeah.
I go down there, I have the medic armor, so I'm the medic. So I use the sniper, I use the rifle and that, and I usually stay back and cover my other friends while they're running around doing objectives. And I cover
so he's hiding behind rocks. You heard it here first, people.
Exactly. I cover them. I carry the ammo pack around, and I go up to them and I give them ammo and shit when they start running low because they're on the front lines fighting.
I used to do that. All of
a
sudden,
1,000 of these jumping little motherfuckers will start chasing me around the map, and I'm like, and they always get me every time. And I hate them. I hate them so very much.
You can feel the hatred.
Oh, I don't think I've raged as much as I have playing with my friends, and then be like, come get these fucking stalkers. And I'd be like running across a map, just running towards my friends, hoping that they'll stop attacking me and attack them. But no, they would just ignore my friends and just keep going for me.
Well, I have it on PC now, so you can play me sometime, bro.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah.
I'd love to.
I'm always down for Helldivers.
I'm a noob. I haven't even started it yet because it intimidates me. I'm too scared to even open it.
But my boss would be from when I was younger, and it is a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, knew it.
Final Fantasy.
I knew something was coming.
Final Fantasy VIII Ultimacia.
Yeah.
She was my... I finished Final Fantasy IX, I finished Final Fantasy VII, finished Final Fantasy X.
Easy.
Final Fantasy VIII. I played that game, I finished or got to the end of that game about 6 times, kept getting my ass kicked by Ultimacia when I was younger, and just went, fuck it. And then I'll go back and be like, oh, I'll start again, and I'll try and get stronger this time. Get to the end, lose. And I think it was only when I played it again when I was 18. And I finally finished it and beat Ultimacia. But like that was me now knowing like fucking everything. I knew where all the how to get Doom Train and shit, how to get like your ultimate weapon like before the end of the fourth disc. I was on top of it after that. But yeah, when I was younger, just Final Fantasy VIII, I just could not finish it. I don't know what it was. Like,
have you finished it now though?
Yeah. Finished it now a couple of times. But, when I was younger, that game, I loved that game. It was like one of my favorite Final Fantasies is Final Fantasy VIII, and I just couldn't finish it. But
that brought back some, like, childhood trauma for me, because I remember raging as a kid over a Crash Bandicoot level where all these lions would come running out of an arena and you had to dodge them. Oh, man. See, that was irritating.
Yeah, I tried when they brought out the remake. I played it. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna relive my glory days playing this. I forgot how much I fucking hated that game. Holy, I did like one level of Crash Bandicoot and was like, I'm going to either break my TV or put a hole in the wall. I'm like,
yeah, well, didn't they balk the controls on the remake because they made them?
I don't know.
Didn't they make them different to what they were like when we were younger? So we were so used to playing a certain way when we were younger that it actually became harder as a remake, right?
I went into it and I'm like, I'm an adult now. I should be able to do this.
Now this.
Easy. And then I started playing it and I couldn't even get past the first fucking stage. I was like, what is this?
Yeah, they made the controls like super touchy or something.
Maybe it's just I'm losing my patience in my old age, but... Yeah, I just don't think I have patience anymore. I got it, and then immediately you stop playing it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to add anything before we wrap up?
No.
I love that we got a new cast member. What's the cast member's name?
This one's Pi.
Aw. Pi had her butt right on the camera.
Yeah.
I have to demonetize the video.
You can't post this one on YouTube.
Put the MKU logo over there.
Oh, can you please put like an emote of someone's face over it?
Yeah.
In post credits.
I put Redgrass face because he was meant to be here.
Yeah. Put Redgrass on it. We might wrap it up there then, hey?
Mm-hmm.
You want to add something?
No, that's all good. I was gonna, I was just gonna say that I found my points finally. It's almost, it's like about a couple of 10 points short or so of my gamer score of 333,000.
See, that's actually good. It's like a bookend of the podcast. We started with talking about your achievements, and we're ending with it. 300K, that's pretty good. I don't even think mine's at...
Mine's only at like 80,000 or something.
I think... Oh, there you go. Mine's 55,944.
Yeah. So, yeah, 333,846. There you go.
Catching up to you, Selby.
I don't play enough single-player games to earn achievements.
Yeah, he doesn't review much.
Don't review anything, don't play much. Still multiplayer.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, maybe this is your year to work on some sub. Nah, you don't have time. Anyway, we might wrap it up there. Thanks for watching, guys. You can like, follow, subscribe on all social medias. Just look up MKAU. We might plug Desky. If you go to desky.com, you can get $100 off a new desk if you put in MKAU. Anything anyone else would like to add at the end? Subby?
No, that's all.
Any competitions?
No, not at the moment. There's a couple coming up. There is one for the new King Kong movie coming up.
Ooh, so stay tuned. That's one movie I actually really want to watch this year. So that's all from us, guys, for tonight. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.